Okay. So, good morning, everyone. And welcome back to our immersion here on embodied Dharma, bringing together the yogic practices with the study around fascia or connective tissue and the notion of interbeing or the interconnectedness of all beings. And so I'd like to just start in with a passage that's on the card that's the handout for the weekend by the Tibetan teacher Sogyal Rinpoche, who really speaks here to the way all things are interwoven. And he wrote, "True spirituality is to be aware that if we are interdependent with everything and everyone else, even our smallest, least significant thought, word, and action have real consequences throughout the universe," or what one of my teachers called the Buddhaverse. And so really, all thought affects our internal state of being, and not only our internal state, but the relations that we have all around us. And so really, mindfulness, striking right at the root of mindfulness practice, is being observant, of course, of thought and action and even the smallest response that we make in the world can ripple out in all kinds of ways. So how do we really understand, how do we come to really embody this in our practice? That's what I'd like to undertake here this morning. How can we really embody this? Now, we were talking yesterday evening about the sensorium, is that really we're a cluster, an aggregate of sensory input. And this begins even in utero, when I think a developing fetus can feel and sense what the mother is thinking or what the mother is feeling. That really, in uterine development, our sensorium begins to grow and mature. And that's why prenatal yoga is so valuable, not just for a pregnant mother-to-be to keep her sacrum intact and keep her hips open, but to really work on the feeling states internally, because they are relayed to the growing fetus so readily. And so we were mentioning yesterday that connective tissue is a fluid medium. And so feelings really move through fluid. The feeling body is very much connected to the fluid body. And when we're born, we're approximately 80% fluid. And then over time, it's kind of a slow process of dehydration. As we age, we know we just slowly start drying up, year by year. And if you have trauma, or if you have some kind of physical or psychological shock to your system, it can really inhibit, it can freeze the neural flow through the tissues, through the circuitry, the neuronal circuitry that's really supported by the fluid system. So in our practices today, we're going to really bring about greater sense of internal flow, internal fluid states. And we think that there's a somatic presence to our fluidity, just as there is a psychic feeling. You know, when you're in your day and you're really open and you're able to relate to others and not feeling so protected or guarded or on the defense, that's when we're really able to feel this good supportive presence of our fluid self. And so in our practices, we'll really continue to extend this ease in our fluid body. Now, really, what the area I'd like to focus on today is the area of the gut. So I'd just like to say a little bit about our center, our abdominal region, because it's, of course, plays such a significant role in all the spiritual disciplines. In the Zen practice, the belly is called the hara, H-A-R-A. And in the Qigong practices, in Chinese medicine, it's called the dantian. And in yoga, it's called the region of the Uddiyana. And so really, we sort of cultivate our sensitivity for our belly. And really, the belly is such a place of feeling. I think as we walk around town and we have encounters with others near and far, we are raising our children, is that so much of our felt sense of being is really harbored in our belly. I kind of think more and more and more, it's less about what you're thinking and it's more about what you're feeling. And so this practice is so much about getting more in touch with our sensorium, our capacity to feel inwardly. And this has a lot to do with getting in touch with the region of the belly. And in the chakra system, the belly, of course, is quite significant. It really is really the hearth. In the Indian tradition, it's referred to as the furnace or the hearth of our energetic self. And it's called the Manipura. And interesting that it's really the only chakra that gets translated into English, which is the plexus solaris, from the Latin, the plexus solaris, and that's the region just below your diaphragm, which we'll go into in some detail this afternoon. And so how do we get in touch with our plexus solaris? How can we really attune to the feeling states inside our belly? Well, this is where the practices around kindness are so important. You know, kindness inwardly towards ourselves, because we can be oh so harsh, so judgmental, and even cruel to ourselves. More likely we're cruel to ourselves than we are to our neighbor. It's more likely, I think, that we can become really cutting and punitive towards ourselves. And so really when we do abdominal openers, we did a bunch of them to start last night, opening the belly, creating space around the diaphragm and the ribs, and we'll keep going in that direction today, we really foster a greater sense of space, because when there's stress or there's a freezing response, the tissues in the gut can so quickly can happen in really less than a second. You know, when you're in conversation or something strikes you that you find to be threatening, that really our gut is so really in a sense dominant and oversees our entire psychic interior. So many, many neuroscientists today refer to it as the second brain, the enteric nervous system, enteric, E-N-T-E-R-I-C. The enteric, the gut brain, is really the sister brain to the cranial brain. We spend a lot of time in our cranial brain sending and receiving, processing and figuring things out. And this practice is really about sort of a gut embodiment, coming all the way down into the region of our intestine. So yesterday I was mentioning being with animals. I think I was mentioning the horse. If you could imagine, just really only 200 years ago, the people were around horses all the time before the vehicle was invented. before Henry Ford came along, that everyone had a horse, or that your neighbor had a horse. And the horse is such a great animal in the archetypical realm to suggest this presence of intuitive awareness that comes out of the area of the gut. An intuitive awareness we have to have when we're around horses, if we're going to be the horse whisperer. And so it makes me think of a film that came out just this year entitled The Rider by Chloe Zhao, a Chinese film director who went to the Lakota Reservation in South Dakota and filmed this really, really beautiful film. I hope it's going to win a few of the Oscars this coming vote, because it's such a beautiful film, and it's about a young man who gets thrown off a horse. Have you seen it? And he suffers a real concussion. He's in a rodeo, and he's riding this horse in a bucking bronco when he gets thrown off and lands on his head and has a severe injury. And so it's really about his recovery. And part of his recovery is by being with horses and by training horses. And the way he really woos these horses that are untrained, they're wild steeds, and he trains them by tenderness, by the art of tenderness. And this is really so important when we are relating inwardly towards ourselves and outwardly with others, is to have the spirit of tenderness. That really this is that bodhicitta that we started with yesterday, the awakened heart mind. And this makes me think, of course, the very beginning of Mary Oliver's poem, Wild Geese. Mary Oliver, who unfortunately just died several weeks ago, and she lived the summers many, many years in Provincetown, Massachusetts, way out on the outer end of the Cape Cod Peninsula, out in the North Atlantic, where I'm from originally. I'm a Massachusetts, born and raised, and I go back to Cape Cod every year, and Mary Oliver would stomp around in the glacier ponds, really remarkable ponds in that part of the country, in the dunes that oversee the Atlantic. It's nice out here in the Pacific, but it doesn't quite compare to the North Atlantic. And in her poem, Wild Geese, she wrote, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to love the soft animal in your body." And so oftentimes in the yoga practice, we feel like we have to pound away at ourselves, walking 100 miles through the desert on your knees. And I don't know about you, but I've been through many power yoga practices in the past. When I started in my early 20s, they were very rigorous, extremely difficult. I thought, well, the more I pushed myself, the better off I'll be. And then I realized that I didn't have to walk 100 miles through the desert on my knees. But you might ask yourself, what desert have you walked through on your knees, repenting? When, as Mary Oliver suggests, you really only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. And so that's the horse whisperer. That's bringing in the feeling of kindness. And so important, of course, really to bring it into the region of our belly. So the nerves in the belly are immense. There are 500 million nerves packed into our belly. More nerves than in your spinal cord. And so the belly, the second brain, is really a center for feeling. And so when the work we do today will be really to become more attuned to feeling inside the gut. And oftentimes I think we just don't let ourselves feel. We override the rather primitive tract of the digestion, one of my teachers called the worm body, from your tongue all the way down to your anal sphincter, is a very, very old tube. Your digestive tract is a very old structure. It just has an entrance and an exit. And so we have this really, this ancient system in taking food that's virtually runs right through our middle body, from tongue to pelvic floor. And then around that gets developed this really highly intricate, really fast chip of our forebrain that sends and receives at such high speeds, and we override the intuitive gut. And so in the weekend here, we're going to look to cultivate more sensitivity for the region of the belly, because I think really that's how we perceive others in the world. I mean, we get a really quick sort of flash. It's like, oh, I get a feeling. Is this person safe? Is this person kind? Is this person an open system? Is this person going to come at me and try to colonize me? To what extent am I going to allow myself to be open? And so much communication in the internet of being, the weave of our community, family and coworkers and colleagues and students, so much of that interweave really occurs at a gut level, far below the radar of the thinking, scheming, planning mind. So when we spend time in communion with our second brain, we become more attuned to our feeling state and to our feeling presence. And then I think it's really valuable to live into the world from there. I mean, not that we sacrifice the forebrain, the cortex, the neocortex, not that we sacrifice the good discriminating awareness of the forebrain, but when we can really be in touch with our second brain, I think we can really be in the world in a good way, especially if we have the spirit of kindness and the horse whisperer, the spirit of tenderness. And with that, I think that we'll all feel safer. But unfortunately, some people are frozen. Maybe you end up working with people who have had trauma or shock to their system, and there's a kind of inhibition. There's a kind of shutting down. So really there's a slow way in which we begin to kind of woo or to kind of cajole and cradle the energetics of the lower spine to support them to open. It takes a while, can take a while certainly to move out of the freezing state, frozen state.